Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Biden wins. Number two, the Senate is on track to move fast on foreign aid. And number three, Dems plot to beat Representative Scott Perry in Pennsylvania. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We have a top this morning focused on the unlikely winner of the 118th Congress. House Republicans came in saying they were going to cut taxes and spending, impeach President Joe Biden and members of his cabinet, and use their leverage to force Democrats to accept stringent new border security and immigration policies. In short, they were going to shake up Washington with Biden as their main focus, but that didn't happen. And instead, Biden pretty much got everything he wanted this Congress. It wasn't, you know, easy. It wasn't necessarily pretty with a lot of style points. But when you look back, as we did this morning, it's a pretty successful year and a half for Joe Biden.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Biden hasn't come out unscathed. He's had issues with Hunter and James Biden. They've been deposed. The Afghanistan pullout, Congress has dug into that. The Republicans have crushed the administrations over problems at the border, and the White House has tried to account for that. But think of it this way. Cut a debt limit deal with Kevin McCarthy. Biden didn't give in a ton. He agreed to a spending cap, but that was a pretty big win for him. Mike Johnson held those spending levels in place. Wasn't able to cut more as some Republicans wanted. He got $60 billion in Ukraine aid. He didn't have to accept new restrictions on Ukraine funding or Israel funding for that matter. Republicans impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, but the Senate didn't even hold a trial. The impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden is fizzling out. The Johnson and Donald Trump killed the bipartisan Senate border deal, giving Democrats rare political space to stake out a position on the issue. And when they return to Capitol Hill next week, Republicans will be down to a one seat margin of control. And the House Republican Conference is at open war with each other. Absolutely crazy. If you look on Twitter at Tony Gonzalez, Andy Barr, Tom Massey, Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, they've been crushing each other. You'll remember, Anna, back in earlier Republican majorities, speakers were able to exact victories from the White House because they chose a discrete issue. Here, they've just been all over the place, in a way that I think is, I don't know about shocking, but certainly not helpful for Republicans. It's been a complete mess for the House GOP and to Biden's advantage.
Yeah, I think when you lay it out as we do this morning, it just kind of shows you ticking through the litany of things where Biden has ultimately been successful. To your point, Republicans taking, especially in the House, an all or nothing approach, which has not worked out well for them. Going to be interesting to see if they change tactics. Hard to see that. I mean, we could be in a potentially another speaker's fight here, which could muck up, another who knows how long for House Republicans as they kind of deal with their intra-party issues. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. The Senate is now on a glide path to approve the House's $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and might be moving even quicker than you'd think. Senate leaders are looking to speed up final passage of the House bill, which also includes a prospective ban of TikTok and the Repo Act that authorizes the sale of seized Russian assets. The Senate can do Senate magic when it wants to, and there's a lot of incentive when you're in a recess that has already been cut short, Jake.
Yeah, if you weren't paying attention over the weekend, which I assume most of you were, the House did clear the Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan bills, as I mentioned a minute ago. They were carried mostly by Democrats, especially the rule, which came up on Friday. But Ukraine carried mostly by Democrats. We had 21 House Republicans vote against the Israel package. More Democrats, but still, it was a big weekend, a big Saturday in the Capitol. And the Senate is getting its act together. And they have some amendments that they are going to be considering. Rick Scott wants to refer the committee to appropriations to add Israel provisions. Mike Lee wants to ensure that the loan provisions for Ukraine are repaid and go toward paying down the debt. And Bernie Sanders said he'll offer amendments centered on the Israel portion of the package. But a few things. This is a week off. There's a lot of people who want to get home. It is Passover for those who are celebrating beginning tonight. Ending on Wednesday, it doesn't end, but tonight and tomorrow night are the two Passover Seders, which is some people in the Senate might want to celebrate or observe. So listen, this is there will be some Senate magic, I imagine, because they have a recess on the other end of this thing. And, the House passed these, even though it was with Democrats, the House passed these pieces of legislation with a pretty big margin. So the pressure's on the Senate. And remember, Anna, the sidecar bill, this bill that includes the ban of TikTok and repo, the Repo Act, not a ban on repo, but the Repo Act, which allows the government to sell off Russian sovereign assets, is also part of this package, and it passed. It did pass the House of Representatives. It is likely to pass the Senate. So that TikTok ban, Anna, which we've been focused on because of the hot political and policy issues here, is in the mix.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. Mika Solner has a look at how House Democrats are lining up behind Janelle Stelson to take on former House Freedom Caucus Chair Scott Perry, the Republican, in November. But first, Stelson has to defeat roughly half a dozen other Democrats vying for the nomination on Tuesday. Her main challenger is Mike O'Brien, a retired Marine Corps officer who has a fundraising advantage. Of course, you know, the Dem primary needs to happen first, but all eyes on Democrats on trying to oust Perry in this R+4 district. This isn't the first time they've tried to take him on. You know, Perry kind of has been confidently talking about how, you know, they always go after him. But it's an interesting look at how one of those seats and a state in particular that Democrats are going to try to put some pressure on Republicans.
Yeah, listen, it's tough to see whether Scott Perry is one of these white whales that Democrats always think they could take out but are not able to. And it remains to be seen whether Democrats are going to spend actual money in this district. But Scott Perry, the former chair of the Freedom Caucus, has taken on some controversial topics, especially in a district that's more that's closer than one would imagine. Excuse me, according to Mika, only, and Mika's right here, it's an R+4, which is a marginal Republican district in a good Republican year, probably wins comfortably in a terrific Democratic year. They could begin to put R+4s in play. I don't know what year this will be for House Republicans, I guess it, and House Democrats. I guess it probably depends a good deal on whether how Donald Trump is running in that district and across the country. Scott Perry would be a big win for Democrats. It's not entirely clear that this will be the year, but something they're going to keep trying to chip away at.
All right. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share with your friends on social media. Tell your parents. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also sign up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.